our Bibles this evening, please, to Psalm 28. Psalm 28, please. We'll take time to read the whole psalm, but really I just want to focus in on one verse in this psalm this evening. But we'll read all of Psalm 28 together. It's a psalm of David's. Psalm 28, and reading from the verse 1. And this is the word of the Lord, and we read, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I before like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Draw me not away with the wicked, and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbours, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds, and according to their wickedness of their endeavours. Give them after the work of their hands, render to them their desert. Because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever." We're going to take time this evening to focus on verse 7 that we have read together. It says there, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." God willing, throughout these few weeks in August, we'll continue in our normal pattern through the summer months. And then we'll get back, God willing, in September to 1 Corinthians. But we're just going to continue in these shorter devotional studies and Wednesday evenings. And this evening we're taking our time to focus on this verse 7 of Psalm 28. You know, when we have called out to God in repentance and trusted Christ as our Savior, one of the most wonderful truths of Scripture is that we aren't just left there to fend for ourselves, but rather that we have help from God. And David here has been in a situation where he has had to cry out to the Lord. Look at the start. "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me." David has been crying out in a desperate situation. He's in terrible circumstances. And the Lord has proved to be his help. It's wonderful to be able to say that the Lord is my strength. It's quite something else when you're able to say it with confidence, because the Lord has proved that to you during your journey as a Christian. "Blessed be the Lord," says David. "Blessed be the Lord," he says in verse 6, "because he hath heard the voice of my supplication." Blessed be the Lord because he has heard about my trouble. David cried to God, and now as we come to verse 7 and focus on it this evening, he praises God because God heard his cry and God answered his prayer, becoming David's strength and his shield. Pastor Morgan says of this verse, "Suddenly the prayer becomes a song of praise and an act of adoration. The first part of the psalm, he's in distress. The second part of the psalm, he's praising because there's been the answer to prayer." The praise is founded on a reason indicated by the word "because" in verse 5. "Because they regard not the works of the Lord." That's the people who aren't. But then he comes on, he says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplications." You know, Charles Spurgeon says this of this verse. He says, real praise is established upon sufficient and constraining reasons. It's not an irrational emotion, but rises like a pure spring from the depths of experience. When we experience the Lord's help in our life, when we experience the Lord strengthening us and being our shield in the most terrible times in life, that's when we can truly understand the depth of this verse. David in distress looks back and says, the Lord has been my strength and he is my shield. How important it is. I want you to note a few things just from verse 7 by way of encouragement this evening. The first thing I want you to note is this, the help that comes from God, The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. This sentence, it speaks of the character of God. It speaks of the help that David has claimed from God. It's the character of help. The Lord is my strength. He's the one who's helped me. The Lord is my shield. God's help is twofold here. First of all, there's the power in his help. There's the power and its strength that speaks of. God is no weakling. His power is the greatest power known unto mankind. When I think of God's strength, I can think of many pictures that are painted in the Psalms about his strength. You can even look to the very start of this Psalm when David says, O Lord, my rock. That's a picture of strength. The rock reminds me that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he is faithful, that he's unchanging. I've told you of this illustration before, but so often when I'm at the North Coast, I enjoy watching the sea crash against the rocks. And you go up and you see the cliff edges and you see the rocks just off the shore. And they don't seem to change every year. They're steadfast. They don't change. They're immovable. And that's the picture of the rock and God's strength. He is faithful. He's unchanging. He's the God who keeps his promises. He's the one who promises to be with his children at all times. We can depend upon him. We can draw our strength from him when we feel weak. You know, in another part of the Psalms, David again, in Psalm 18, he describes the Lord as his fortress. Well, what is a fortress? Well, according to the Oxford Dictionary, it's a large building or a group of buildings that's defended from attack. Now the devil seeks to attack God's people. And when we think that David, when we think of David in his life, he was constantly under attack. We can think of his hardships with King Saul. How he lost his best friend, Jonathan. How he spent much of his time in hiding. And can I say this evening, maybe you come in and you're right in the midst of a trial and the devil has been aiming his fiery darts at you. Maybe you come in this evening and your faith is so weak and you're struggling today and you're weak and you just don't know where to look, where to turn to. Well, don't you forget that when we see this picture of strength in the fortress, it speaks of that defense that we have. How the Lord is strong even against the devil. The devil quakes when we fall on our knees and cry out to the Lord. God had taken preeminence in the throne of David's heart. And David was building his house upon the rock, upon the Lord's strength. And David was trying to make an impact for God by the way that he managed the trials and difficulties that came to him. Here in Psalm 28, to return to our Psalm this evening, he is in a difficult patch. He's in trouble, but his very first instinct is to cry out to God and to acknowledge that the Lord is his rock, his strength, his shield. So there's the strength, but then there's also the second aspect of the help. There's the protection in God's help as well, which we see in the shield here, the shield. God shields us from many perils, and if the truth were known, more than we even realize. And David, he claims this help, this shield, this strength. And he says, my heart, look at the verse 7, my strength and my shield. And he says, my heart is trusted in him. To gain God's strength, to know God's shield in our life, it requires great faith. Trust it. And it's a heart faith. It's trusting God, even as verse 8 says, is that God is being that saving strength, in that we have trusted Christ as our Saviour, and therefore we know that strength from the very day and hour we bowed the knee, because we knew that God was the all-powerful one who saved us in the first place, and he'll never leave us. Many of us can talk about faith. We have it in our mouth. Many of us know about faith in our head. But so many times in life's difficult situations, does it ever drop to our heart, even as saved people tonight? Don't we take so many things into our own hands? Don't we take so many things and we try to deal with them our own way, instead of our first instinct being to drop on our knees and to cry out to the Lord? The Lord is our help in those situations. Know that like David in verse 1, we would immediately cry to the Lord who is our rock in times of trouble, but then that we would then discover as we do that and be able to turn to the Lord, as in verse 6, after those times of people say, blessed be the Lord because he heard the voice of my supplication. He was and has been and proved himself to be my strength, and he's proved himself to be my shield. We can see the help from God firstly, but secondly, I want you to see the happiness that comes from God in verse 7, the happiness. Look at what he says. He says, I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. I am helped, so I have cause to be happy. I have cause to rejoice in the Lord. You know, I think it's, well, personally in my own walk, I don't know about you, but so often when you cry out to the Lord for help and that help comes, so often we forget to turn back to the Lord and praise him that he actually did it. That he actually did answer the prayer. He helped us in our difficult days. And it should cause us to rejoice, and it should cause us to return praises to him and to give thanks for what he's done. It should cause this great happiness to bubble up. You know I tease you at times that sometimes when we're singing, we don't look very happy at all. Or sometimes when we're even thinking about things like this, we don't look happy at all. And I will remind you that Lucy also tells me in the way home I don't look very happy either sometimes in the pulpit. But you know, it's so true that when the Lord answers prayer, how we ought to know that happiness and joy of our salvation. If God has helped us and we've known of that help, and if we've known of a God who's been faithful to us, a God who satisfies our every need, who has given much help to us who don't deserve that help, how we ought to greatly rejoice. It's that wee line I just think is great. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. God doesn't do things in small measures. When he blesses us in a superior way than any other thing in this world could do. God is the one who brings the greatest joy in our lives. We thought of that a few Sundays ago when we thought of the fruit of the Spirit and that word joy. The world's joy is so small and superficial. And yet the joy that God brings to us, there's no equal to it. It's a joy that's there through all circumstances, knowing that we can hope in him. No matter what's happening in our lives. And the greatest joy is this, the hope that one day we'll be with him forever and all of this life will be behind us. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. Can I ask you tonight, do you display the joy of the Lord in all circumstances? Look at how the psalmist expresses his happiness. He's known help from God. And then we see the happiness from God, and as he says, my heart greatly rejoices. Well, how does he show that rejoicing in the heart outwardly? Look at the end of verse 7. And with my song, I will praise him. Not only is there help from God in this verse, not only can you see the happiness from God in this verse, but there's a hymn for God. A hymn for God. It's expressed through song. He rejoices, and you can just feel David. He's overflowing with thankfulness and praise, and it leads him to burst into song. With my song will I praise him. Do you remember the last thing that the Lord Jesus Christ did with his disciples before he began his final journey to Calvary? Do you remember the wee phrase that there is there? It says this, when they had sang a hymn. They sang together before they left that upper room. Before the Lord Jesus went to face his greatest battle, before he faced the most intense and difficult trial that anybody has ever faced, he chose to face that trial by singing a hymn and worshipping and being joyful. He faced his trial and he faced the greatest problem that he had, dealing with the sin of this world, sin dealing with your sin and mine, in the attitude of praise and worship and thanksgiving. What an amazing picture of how the child of God ought to face their trials. Wonder, can you see him as he heads towards the darkest hour in the history of the world? The singing Christ. The praising Christ, the worshipping Christ. Can I say, when I think of our example that the Saviour set as he went to the cross of Calvary for my sin and yours, whatever battles lie ahead for the church and for each of us as individuals, we must sing. Remember the children of Israel when they went into battle? At the front there were the tribe of Judah. Judah meaning praise. And they went into battle praising. And so, dear brother, dear sister, tonight in life's personal battles, or the battles that we will go through as a local church, we must sing out, "All hail the Lamb, enthroned on high, his praise shall be our battle cry. He reigns victorious, forever glorious, his name is Jesus. He is the Lord." I know that some of you go through difficult days. I know for some of you that the times are tough. But can I say, first of all, you rely on the Lord as your help and you cry out to him as David did in his time of trouble. "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock." And then in a future day, I hope that you'll be able to turn to the Lord and say this, "Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." Trust the Lord will bless his word to each of our hearts this evening, and that will be a help to each of us as we go through the many trials and tribulations in this life.